Thank you, Pastor. Well, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I left the motel room and I said, I'm going to tell them I've got a devotion. That is the truth. Our brother preaching reminded me of a story I read about D.L. Moody. This fella was a Christian. He wanted to win his brother to Christ. And he couldn't get him around a church, so he heard D.L. Moody was in a big tent meeting, so he asked him to go and kept on, and finally he went. And after Mr. Moody had preached, they were walking home, and the Christian said, well, said, now, do you believe what he preached? He said, no, but I'll tell you one thing, he did. And to set the record straight, I do too.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. It's wonderful to be saved.
Yeah.
Hear all the variety of preaching, and boy, I tell you, my heart's been lifted. I mean that. And helped and challenged. So let's open our scriptures to the book of Colossians. To the book of Colossians, as you are turning there, I want to say, and of course, I'm not saying anything new to Bible students, that Colossians and Ephesians are referred to as sister epistles. According to Graham Scroggie, Ephesians, of course, has 155 verses, but he says there are 78 phrases that are in Colossians found in Ephesians. So that's why they're referred to as that. And in Colossians, but especially Ephesians, we start out finding what our blessings, our beginning as a Christian is, and of course the blessings that follow. And then we have something said about our behavior. And of course, then on top of that, we have some boundaries. Now, a lot of people likes the behavior aspect, but not the boundaries. And we are too quick to forget that with privileges, opportunities always come responsibilities and boundaries. And God reserves the right to draw a boundary anywhere that He wants to draw that. And so then, throughout these epistles, we find, of course, our burdens and our battles. But I was reading through the book of Colossians some time ago. It's been years ago now, I guess. And I had come to chapter 3. And let's read the opening four verses. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. I remember Dr. B.R. Lake in 1974 preaching at Camp Zion, Myrtle, Mississippi. And he had preached two or three messages on the devil. And a woman came to him and said, aren't you afraid the devil's going to get you? And Dr. Lakin said, no, ma'am. She said, why? I said, he doesn't know where I am. And she said, what do you mean he doesn't know where you are? He said, my life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. And I cannot tell you what happened in my heart when I read that top line, when Christ, who is our life. Now, I probably read that verse 15 times, and each time that top line grabbed my heart. Now, you Bible readers and students know what I'm talking about. And as I looked at that line, I thought, what we find here is a precious truth proclaimed. Because we see in verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ. And then on in verse 1, where Christ sitteth. And down in verse 3, life hid with Christ in God. Then verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, and the latter line, with Him in glory. So we can tell a whole lot what is on the apostle's heart here as he's writing. The church at Colossae, Paul lifts up Christ, I think, as high as any epistle that he writes. And there's a purpose in that, because we can read, especially in chapter 2, of where that asceticism has entered in, people punishing themselves to try to gain favor with God. And I think some of them call it legalism, and that is right. But then there's another matter that's entered in, and it is philosophy. Philosophy is a deep study about the nature of things. And also logic plays a very important role in a philosophy. But now, philosophy and asceticism always leads a person away from Christ and what God has said in His Word. So I look at the book of Colossians, and three areas Paul is dealing with these believers to try to keep them from being diverted away from Christ or drawn away from Christ. And number one, and we heard about that, and I really enjoyed it, is faith in Christ. And number two is following Christ. And number three is fellowshipping with Christ. All three of those are so important in our life as a Christian if we're going to do what our brother said and stay faithful in the race that God has entered us into. And so then I kept looking at this one truth. Now, you fellas, you know what I'm talking about now, just like Brother Flora talked last night about that. And you could tell that didn't come out of a book. That came out of a heart that had been in meditation over these great truths he brought us out of 1 Peter. And I just kept looking at that, and I found that some of the richest things of the Lord come to my heart and mind through meditation, just looking at something and going over it and going over it. And so then I thought, well, number two here is a prized treasure possessed. And so he said, risen with Christ, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And as I continued looking at this verse, I said, there is a godly testimony possible. The writer is saying, Christ, who is our life. Now, if you think I'm going to damage or try to mar the King James Bible, you need to get my book on the doctrine of the Word, and you'll find out where I stand. But we are familiar with our Bible. The translators looked at the text so reverently, if there was a word not in it, but they thought that would be maybe a clarification of a reading, or even clarify, that's what I'm trying to say, clarify a reading. or maybe even for emphasis, whatever they did, they inserted that, but they put it in italics. And so when we're looking here at this, you see who is in italics, but it does no damage to what is said. So we can read it without it. Now I'm going to preach it with it, but we can read it without it when Christ, our life. And so here is the real thrust behind the apostle's pen here as he's writing to these believers. And then I thought about this, really grabbed me when I thought there is a godly testimony possible here. We can all have this testimony that Christ is our life. If you remember in the book of Genesis, we find the character Enoch. And the Bible said that Enoch walked with God, and he was not, because God took him. And then we come to the book of Hebrews, and the author there mentions Enoch. And he said this, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, what would make a man have a testimony that pleased God? I believe we go all the way back to Genesis chapter 5 when we find he walked with God. And everybody's life, everyone in here, young people and older people alike, everybody's life revolves around a person or a thing. Everybody's. And oh, that if we could see the need for this in our life, to let our life revolve around Christ. Have you ever been with those people who just seemingly, if you bumped into them, Christ came out? You know what I'm talking about? Such a man was Dr. Crumpton. We had him with us at least two meetings and possibly three, but I know for sure two. I never saw a man like him. And then, I don't know how you're going to take this. It really don't matter. But I was privileged to preach Brother Larry Wells' 25th anniversary at the church. That's been a long time ago. His son, Andy, had asked me to come. And so Brother Wells, I went in, sat down on the front seat, and they were talking about some achievements Brother Wells had done, and the youth choir was singing. It was just a electrifying service. And then Brother Wells took the juice out of it. He looked over to me and he said, Brother Jones said, now in a few minutes there's probably going to be a gray-haired man come in and sit down, but said, don't let it bother you. I said, well, I've preached to a lot of gray-haired men. And he said, we have a lady in our church that cleans Dr. J. Harold Smith's house. And she invited him to this meeting. And he said, if a man stays at a Baptist church 25 years, I think I'm going to go and commend him. And so anyway, Dr. Smith came in and I preached. And after the service was over, we had a luncheon in a community center that the church had taken, had rented, I suppose. But anyway, I went over and I was privileged to sit beside Dr. J. Harold Smith. Now, you can say anything or think anything you want to about him. It's not going to bother me. And that man, I'm telling you, I just sensed the same spirit when I was around Dr. James Crumpton. And he started telling me the things and the experience. See, some ladies in our church had been saved when he had come to Harriman years ago. And so that gave us a platform here to fellowship. And I enjoyed that so much. But you know what I got out of that? Those men's lives revolved around Jesus Christ. And that challenged my life. The preaching that I've heard. And I've had my feathers ruffled a time or two. And I'm telling you right now, it's good for us. And it will help us to We're so easy to veer off of the path for one reason or another, but may God help us here. And so let me say this, and I don't want to be mean now, but to many, Christ is only an attachment to life. He is not their life. He's just an attachment. When they get into trouble, they reach for Him. And all of a sudden, they are asking people to pray about the needs that they have in their life. But when they get over the hump or the hard place in life, then they go right back unto the situation of living that they were before the tragedy came or before the hurdle was before them. Now, I could stand here and talk to you many minutes this morning about people that I've seen and know. I'm not a judge. I cannot see into anyone's heart. But I know what the Lord did for me when He saved me and what He delivered me from. Amen. And I'm thankful to God that I don't have to run to the world to get my thrills. Amen. When I open that book and begin to read, the Holy Ghost begins to minister to my heart and to my life. Thank God, that is my thrill. We sing a song in our church, all that thrills my soul is Jesus. And I'm telling you, I get an eerie feeling, Brother Simpson, when I go into a church and the men are gathered in the foyer talking about hunting and fishing and who won the ball game. And those things are all right in their place. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something right now. The house of God, we ought to come to learn about Him and listen about Him. Whether it fits us exactly or whether it does not, then we ought to be praying for that preacher. I learned this a long time ago. If you see a man struggling in the pulpit, and all of us know what that's about. If you see a man struggling in the pulpit, if you'll start praying for him, I promise you something. Before that man sits down, you're going to hear something from God. God's going to give that man something that is going to help you. Amen and amen. Well, that's a devotion. All right, so here we go. Christ, who is our life. Listen, not Christ who merely is life, and He is that. He said in John chapter 5, as the Father hath life in Himself, He's given to the Son to have life in Himself. John said, John chapter 1, in Him was life, and the life is the light of men. Amen and amen. And then if you remember in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11, this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. And so if you don't have Christ, I'm not talking about know about Christ. There's a lot of people's idea of this devotion's getting away. There's a lot of people that's got the idea that because they know there's a God and they know that He had a Son named Christ, that they're all right and they're going to go to heaven. Hey, we've got to have Christ. He has got to be in us. And may I say, we've got to be in Him. And all of that is the power of the Holy Ghost working in our heart and in our life. Amen. He is life. I'm telling you, He's life. Thank God I sense the life that the Lord is within me. And then, not just merely begets life. And may I say this, everything that has life in it, it received it from Christ. Everything by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and all things by Him consist. Everything that the life got that life from Christ, amen. Without Him, not anything was made that was made. That used to puzzle me, Brother Floor, when it said He created invisible things. But then you talk about the airwaves. The Bible talks about the stars and their courses. We can't see those courses, but they're up there. The Son of God, the Creator, mapped those courses out. Amen. And I'm telling you, the stars, if we could stay on our course, like the stars stay on their course, wouldn't it make a difference in our churches? Mercy. And not who gives life. And He does. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. But who is our life? Now, here we go. He is the source of our life. It is derived from Him. Everything we have and everything we are, everything we hope to have, everything we hope to be, rest in Him. Amen. He is the support of our life. It is dispensed through Him. He is the shepherd of our life. It is directed by Him. He is the subject of our life. Our discourses are to be about Him. Have you ever found that or tried to see some people how short a conversation you can carry on with them that is spiritual? But they know every quarterback. They know the top basketball team. Now, this is not bragging. I could have found out, but I really didn't care. I didn't know who even was playing in the Super Bowl. I made my mind up a long time ago when those fellas, is this on there? It don't matter. When those fellas making millions of dollars a year and wouldn't bow their knee to the, or wouldn't stand in honor of the flag that provided the opportunity for them, I would never watch another. God help us. Our discourses ought to be about Him. We ought to be able to talk about the Lord longer than anything. Is that right? I think we should. The satisfaction of our life, it is its delight is in Him. Nothing better than Him. Who was that? I know his name, Henson. I can't remember his first name. He wrote nothing better, Micah, nothing better than Jesus. Amen. That is the truth. Well, here's a devotion. He is the founding of our life. Amen. He is its establishment. We were established by Christ. Where were we going? Where were we headed? Every time I see a drunk, pardon the expression, but a bum.
Yes. It ought to be me.
I told this at Brother Gravely's years ago. I was late for the meeting, and I had stopped at a traffic light. And here I'm sitting. Brother Jones is gone, isn't he? So it bothered me to say this. Here I'm sitting complaining. I'm late for this meeting, and I've got a 2-hour drive, and this traffic light has to stop me. And something caught my eye, and I looked, and sure as I'm standing before you, there was a poor old man, ragged clothes, a bicycle, didn't even have a kickstand, leaned up against the side of the building. He was rummaging through a garbage can. It was early in the morning. And as sure as I'm standing here, the Holy Ghost said, that would have been you. Amen. And I don't have any doubt in my mind, Brother Bob, that would have been me. I've been established through him. I owe him everything I am or everything I could ever be. David said, I was in a horrible pit, and he picked me up, set me on the rock, established my going, put a song in my heart. Brother Milford Ely said, he picked me up, he set me up, and he tuned me up. Yeah. Okay, so he, number two, he's the furtherance of our life. He's its extent. Any distance we're going to make for him, he's going to be behind it, and he's going to be the promoter of it. And he knows what he's doing with all of our lives. I marvel when I see so many good preachers, men of God, my friends, some of you I've known for many years, and how God can take a life. I knew Chad Bailey when he was a teenager. You watch him sit on the front seat, him and his brother, of the Victory Baptist Church. Then let me say this. He's the force of our life. He is its energy. Boy, I appreciate that, preacher. That is the truth. When we're up here trying to look good or make ourselves appear to be something we're not, all of that is going to burn up at the judgment seat. Every bit of it is. He's our force. He's the one that's pushing us and prompting us and promoting us to do. And then I really love this. He's the fragrance of our life. He's its essence. I'd rather be around an old-time Christian than any person anywhere. There's just something about them. It just, I don't know, Brother Fallou, I don't think you're old enough to know this. Your daddy would. But back years ago, back in the hills, I don't know, were you always a Floridian? Okay, well, back in the hills of Tennessee, they would be having a service, and the brethren would talk about, you could sense the Spirit flowing from breast to breast. Now, they weren't talking, you know, for a long time, and people made fun of that. They weren't talking about the Holy Ghost. They were talking about that fragrance, that fellowship that you can enjoy with one another, that God has made possible through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm telling you, He's our all. And then, may I say, He's the feature of our life. He is its effect. And then He's the flavor of our life. He is its enjoyment. Don't you enjoy Him? I think He wants us to enjoy Him. I really do. I think when we come to church, we ought to enjoy Him. And when the Word of God is being preached, we do enjoy Him. And then He's the fullness of our life. He's enough. Amen. 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 He's enough. Thank God for the Lord Jesus. Well, I'm quitting. The believer's identification, if ye then be risen with Christ. Now this, I've got to explain this. Of course, you know it, you Bible student. But if you see how verse 1 begins, if, that does not mean a possible hypothetical case. Because if you know yourself, you've read this in commentaries, that sometimes if or since can be used in the place of if without violating the context. Well, I had problems with that, Pastor, a long time. But then my attention was drawn, if ye then. It didn't just say, if you be risen with Christ, if you then. So he's talking about something that has transpired. And so when we look over in verse 12, now who is the apostle writing to? He's writing to the saints in Colossae, buried with him in baptism, chapter 2, verse 12, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So Paul's not talking about an if here. He's talking about the matter that you... Let me say it like this. In view of the fact that you have been raised with Christ, seek ye the things that are above. He wouldn't say that to a lost person. He's saying that to saved individual. Amen and amen. Well, the Christ life. Our position in Christ calls for the Christ life. Because we're in Him, we ought to recognize the obligation, if you want to say it like that, that we have to live for Christ and let Christ be that or be who we revolve our lives around. Our fellowship with Christ conditions the Christ life. Now, the reason a lot of people, amen, are wishy-washy is a lack of fellowship. When you fellowship with Christ, it's going to condition the Christ life, not just life the way we want it, but the Christ life, living for Christ and honoring Christ. The more we fellowship, the more our life's going to be conditioned. And then thirdly, our communion with Christ contents the Christ life. There's nothing in all the world that will satisfy and make us happy in our Christ life like communion with Him. And then our obligation to Christ continues the Christ life. And we are obligated. Amen. We are obligated. Amen. I'm not going to heaven because I'm trying to live a life that pleases Christ. I'm trying to live a life that pleases Christ because I am going to heaven. Amen and amen. Thank you, Pastor.